Anybody got anything they want to say? Before we get started? Anything anybody got, want to thank the Lord for? We just here tonight just to...
I thank the Lord for saving me, for his many blessings. Thank him for saving my word and soul. And I thank my pastor, his wife, my church family. And y'all just pray for me and I pray for y'all, pray for my children. They're on their way to the beach and I just pray that they will have a safe journey.
Sure will.
I got a feeling I got the witness to an unsaved soul this afternoon. His wife was standing behind him on the other side of the car. He was standing there asking me questions and I was letting the Holy Spirit take charge of the conversation and just spouting forth truths about Jesus. And she was just like crying because he was asking questions that I guess he don't usually ask in public. So, hopefully I had a little bit of an impact, maybe the seed was planted.
That's right. We never know. You never know when we plant that seed and we never know that, hey, the Lord can give you increase right there. The Lord can go on and do the impossible. And I think that's one of the greatest things as far as all miracles that is in God's word is that miracle in itself to where he would save us from a devil's hell. You know, he didn't have to, but I'm so thankful that he did. But come on, yeah. But now if you will tonight, just turn into your Bibles to John chapter 1. And we may stay in the book of John for a while. We may end up going, I don't know, as the Lord leads. I've still been praying that the Lord will lead in such a way that that he will allow maybe on Sunday night and Wednesday night where we can start maybe we can take and get the tabernacle out and start teaching on that. I've done it one other time and it's been a long time, so we just need to mind the Lord and do what he asked us to do and where the Lord can get all the glory from it. Because I'm up here and I know that I'm your pastor and I know that all that in mind that still comes down to the fact that he is the one that we need to thank him for, and for the Holy Spirit. But tonight I just want to bring out some thoughts here tonight in John chapter 1 here. And as I feel, I'll liable end up coming down there. I don't know. But I feel good tonight. I really do. I feel great. Y'all don't think I can do it, do you?
They want you to stay up there.
Well, yes.
I just stay up there. I'll come down here and stay down here.
Oh, me.
You don't see these poor people or not.
Shelby.
Donkey.
You just kind of stay away and just listen now. Because this message tonight is directed right at you. And I really didn't know that until you reminded me of it. Thank you for reminding me, Shelby.
I try.
I know you do. I know you do. Oh, me. All right. Here tonight, I just want to let you know I feel good tonight. I do. I feel good. I know I can't run like I used to, but I believe one thing, that if the Holy Ghost gets a hold of me, Satan's not going to hold me down, but I'm going to be gone. Just like the old songs, you know, they just sing, gone, talking about this stone. That stone had been rolled away. Why was this stone rolled away? Rolled away so we could look in, see where he went there. Because he could have just come on through the earth. He could have done the same thing like he'd done there in the upper room. But he didn't. He needed to let the people know what was going on. But here in John chapter 1, we're going to talk about tonight the deity of Christ, his pre-incarnation work, and I'm going to mention a whole lot about the light. Brother Bill, if you would do me a favor, when I motion for you to, I want you to come up here, I want you to cut the lights out. But it says right here, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Brother Bill, go ahead and turn the lights off as I go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do and what you're going to allow us to see tonight, Father. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, and what you have done for each and every one of us, Lord, today. And God, we ask, Lord, that you may just do the impossible, Lord. Father, I know it's some people here tonight, Father, sick in body. Father, yes, they're in pain tonight. But Father, we also know that your son was in pain that one time, Father. And Lord, and I ask God tonight that you may just touch us, Father. That you may just let us realize what little pain that we're going through. Maybe it seems like it's a lot of pain, but Father, we're going through just a little bit of pain compared to what your son, Jesus, went through. Father, we want to thank you and want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All the lights is out except for the sunlight out here in the world. And we, as individuals, are the light that the Lord is looking to today. And the people that we come in contact with each and every day is looking for someone that has that light and has that true light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. We see right here where we're not only speaking about Jesus Christ, we're not only just speaking about God, but we also have the Trinity here. We also have the three in one here. In the very first verse, we see, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God." We see that one, the first word there. And that first word there means that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, even at this time, had been going around, had been going to the different disciples, and he had been speaking to people's hearts, and he was, and people would come up to him and talk to him. And we see over there in Luke chapter, I believe it's chapter 19, where talking about the sycamore tree, we see there where the Zacchaeus, he went up the sycamore tree, and he went up. Why did he go up? Because he was short. He was a short individual. But he wanted to see this man that everybody called Jesus. Now, that's one thing that I'm looking forward to. I've never seen him. I've never heard him audibly. Only thing that I've heard is through the Word of God as I read it, and he will speak to me through his Word. But I'm looking and I'm expecting one day to see my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that paid the ultimate price. The one that pardoned me. You know, and I know that they've been talking about it, and it's been brought up in the paper and everything. Well, we know that the President of the United States, and y'all know how I feel about him and everything, but with all of that saying and going on and everything, we know with the, before he leaves office up there, that he's going to pardon some people. And he's going to pardon them to the fact that where they had done wrong, they had done people wrong, they had lied to the people, they had lied to the government to get what they want done and what they want to fill their pockets with. But yet, he will pardon them. I don't know how many he's going to pardon. Which he's already pardoned some already. He's pardoned some of the detainees of the terrorist that was over in, was it Guantanamo Bay and all that, were in the prison there. I mean, he should not, he did not have legal authority to do what he done. He did not have the legal authority to say, hey, we're going to give these five men up for that one individual up over there. When come to find out that that one individual was a traitor in the house. But yet, people today don't look. They don't realize what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. He has pardoned you. He has pardoned you to the point that you will never see any portion of hell. And I'm so thankful that he had pardoned me from that, that I won't have to see it. But I won't have to give an answer to God for everything that I've said, everything that I've done since I've been saved. And thinking about that, I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking in meeting him in that condition that what I used to be and what I've done today. Because the Apostle Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he also says the wages of sin is what? Death. Anytime that you see somebody speaking about death in the Bible, that they didn't die, they cannot be revived anymore. But see, as far as a Christian is concerned today, and according to God's word, he has bought me with a price. He has shed every drop of blood for every ounce of weight or every ounce of body that I have. What he wants me to do is to look to him and to serve him faithfully. What he's looking to you to do is to serve him and be faithful about it. Well, sometimes we get to the point that we'll take the serving part, we take it too lightly. I would rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than be out here in the world. I'd rather be a watchman over God's house. I would rather be in here going around and taking up the trash than be out here in the world. Because see, the world has nothing for me. The world has nothing for you. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's God the Father and God the Son right there. But then it says, and the Word was God. Speaking about the Holy Spirit. Speaking about the Holy Ghost. Because we know where, and we know how we got the Bible, and how we got the truth. And we got it from over 40 different individuals that was touched. Not only by just the Holy Spirit, but was also touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, and was also touched by the Father, that they would pin it down what they had been directed to do. And it says in the book of Revelation, it says, this world cannot contain everything that comes from heaven. Other words, the only thing that God, what God give us through them 40 individuals is just enough to whet our appetite. To whet our appetite, and when we get appetite wet, then we can dream on. Have you ever been to the house and you'd be laying down, or maybe laying down at night going to bed, and right before you go to sleep, you'll get to thinking about this and that. And you'll start dreaming about what would heaven really look like. We can, each one of us here tonight, we can just pour out our imagination in what heaven is going to look like. And no doubt, each and every one of us will probably be right in the way we see what heaven is really going to look like. But the ears have not heard, and the eyes have not seen what we're going to see one day, and what we're going to hear one day after we get in. And I'm going to bust a whole lot of people's bubbles tonight, but I know that you've heard different ones say, like, you know, Peter standing at the gate and everything. Peter's not going to be standing at the gate. I believe the gate is going to be wide open. Because the only one that's going to be there to go through them gates is the ones like me and you. The ones that are saved, that has had his blood applied to our life. All things was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The darkness right here, we could stay here all night, we could stay here till the sun goes down, till it gets pitch black outside, and cut these lights out. It could be pitch black in here. But what we could do, each one of us could have a candle, and don't put that candle, and we're not supposed to put that candle under a bushel basket. We're supposed to take that candle and lift it high.
above our head. Why above our head? So it will illuminate around us. That's what this light right here speaks about. The illumination. Where it illuminate around me and around you. And the glory of God, which the it speaks over there in, I think it's in the book of Numbers and everything over there. But it speaks about the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory that come down from heaven that will shine upon each and every one of us. But we could have that candle in our hand. And I've been in services where they do that, and they have a candlelight service. Church didn't even have no windows in it at all. Be pitch black. You could put your hand, I could put my hand right there. And I wouldn't even know where my hand was at. I couldn't tell you that was my hand there. It could have been my wife's hand there. It could have been somebody else's there. But then the pastor of the church, he would take that candle, and right before he'd do it, he would have communion right after that. But he would take it, and he would take that one candle. And as the deacons was up here, he would light their candle one by one. As he lit it one by one, it started getting bright. You started seeing some light in that. You started seeing something going on happening. And then, not only that, then they will go around and they will go up the center aisle and they will light the end pew, light their candle. And then they would go down. The first one up here, and they'd light all the candles, and then they'd go down the aisle, then they'd go to Luke. All the candles in the church was lit. It was a beautiful sight. But see, it wasn't a pure darkness before. But then the true light come in. The true light comes in. Did you realize that we don't have to have no candle? Did you realize that all we have to do is just smile? Or do something? The glow will come upon us. It will illuminate around us to the point that where we say, heck, can that happen? That's what them three individuals done when they come to my house. Their life was illuminated. And illuminated around them. Then when they come and they told me if I knew where I was going, was I going to heaven or hell? And then the only thing I could say says, I don't know. I didn't. I mean, I didn't know. Brother James Hughes, he ended up being my Sunday school teacher. He's the first one that spoke out. And I reckon probably that if he'd have worded it a little different, I may have, yeah. Yes, I sure do. But no, he gave me a choice there. He says,
You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And in hell is where the worm dieth not. And he was telling me that hell was not created for you. It wasn't created for us. It wasn't. It was created for who? Lucifer, the one. The one there in heaven. They say, well, God, you know, I'm gonna paraphrase it here. Lucifer said, told God, says, God says, you know, I see everything that you've created. I see some things you could have done a little better on. I know I would have done a little better on. That was when he was telling God, said, God, you did not know what you was doing. Same way today. We have people to tell, they don't really come out and say it, but with the life that they live and everything, they'll say, well, I was in church one time, but I got hurt. Somebody said something wrong. But you know something? We should never allow somebody else to hurt us to the point where it would take us away from the fellowship of God. Do you think Jesus would have done that? Anytime they talked about him, they ridiculed him. I mean, one of the greatest preachers preached on the day of Pentecost. He denied the Lord. He just flat out and denied him. Why? Because Peter was a liar. He didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord unless there wasn't nobody else around. Yeah, we can come to church. We can come to church. We can come through the doors. We can pick up his songbooks. And yes, we know the songs. We know when we can say amen and when we can't. We know when we can raise our hand and praise the Lord. See, we have got to the point of the day, and people have, that have got to the point that they know how to come into church and play church. They can come in and they could play church. They can come in and do all the rituals that we do. But I think that you need sometimes just allow something else to mix things up. I don't have no bulletin to where I could pass out to you and then you know exactly what time we're going to stand up here and sing the first song. And then we're going to take time to have prayer. And then we're going to have, at the point of this period of time, we're going to take up tithes and offering. Since we're on tithes and offering, I'll tell you,
you owe God 10%. God will not bless nobody on your 10%. Only God blesses on is your offering. What's above your 10%. And you need to allow God to bless you. Brother Bill, you come on up back. You cut the lights back on. But
you know, we need to really think about it. Really need to think about the way that we come to church, and we need to live it. And if people today say, well, I don't understand the way y'all come in and so many things that the preacher says, don't take it up with me. You take it up with God. Don't take it up with me. Because I'm just like Bill now. I'm the mail carrier. And I just carry the mail. And I give the mail out. And a whole lot of times, when it seems like, well, he's preaching at me. No. Preaching to myself. Preaching to myself also. And talking about a mate, talking about the mail carrier. The mail that I carry is right here. And you've got to take it up with God. It knows exactly what it's intended for it to do. And it's going to do what it's intended for it to do. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes God will take and chasten us. He will speak to us in a way that sounds kind of harsh to us. But when he does, always remember this. When he does, he's speaking to his children. Because he wants the very best for you. He wants the very best for me. And yes, I'll tell you. I mean, going out here and going to the woodshed or something like that. I mean, when my stepfather, when we've done something wrong growing up and everything, and then at night he'd come up on steps and he'd bring that old barber strap up there and he'd come away and he'd take that barber strap and he would hit us on the leg. It hurt. It hurt then. It really did. And then you could hear him saying as he's going back down the steps and he said, now y'all need to just calm down. Y'all just need to go on and go to sleep. Says that hurts me more than it does you. And then my mother, she'd come at the bottom of the step and she said, I heard. But you have to have somebody here to correct you. Who was he looking after? He was looking after me. He was looking after my other three brothers and my stepbrother. Why? Because, see, we meant something to them. So, see, now when the Lord, when He chastens us, can't you imagine? When the Lord does chasten me, and He said, "Dinah, I told you not to do that today. That's not the directions I wanted you to go in, but you wouldn't listen." How many times I've read God's word, then God will speak back. He says, "Son, I love you. I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble. I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble." Just trying to keep us out of trouble. That's all He wants to do, is just keep us out of trouble. And the only way that we can stay out of trouble is stay close to Him. We'll stay close to Him, we'll do what He asked us to do. We'll go out here and we'll talk to that individual like Brother Paul did today. We don't know. We never know whose lives we'll touch. But one thing about it, God's word says that His word will not come back void. It will not come back to the individual that was sharing the word. It will not come back to them. What He's saying is, your word, what you just spoke about, it's going to do what He intended for it to do. Hey, that's how I got saved. How did I get saved? I got saved through what? His word. His word. Jesus wasn't right there. Jesus wasn't standing right there or sitting right there beside me and in between me and Brother James Hughes and David Riddle and Sam Joyce. No. He wasn't standing right there. But I had to listen in what they were showing me and telling me in the Bible. That it says right here, it says in the very first verse, right, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And in verse 14, it says, here it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we hold His word, when we hold His word, we must realize too that it's not just written down here on paper. where we can read it and understand it. But he also tells us too, this right here became flesh. It became flesh for me and you. That's the reason it lives today. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for this evening. And Father, help us, Lord, that we can take what was said tonight, Father, and what you've given us, Lord, that we may be able to take it and use it. And Father, that we may be able to speak to people about your precious word and about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, that the people that's here, if they have anything upon their heart tonight, oh God, I pray, Father, that they will just come forth tonight. Come forth, Father, that they can, if they came by here at the altar, that, Father, they can come to the front pews, Father. And Lord, we just want to thank you for what you're doing. And we're going to thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. Because I know, Father, that we serve an impossible God. He is so extraordinary to ordinary people. Thank you, Father, for allowing your Son to die in my place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.